This is Unsocial Spectators with Clay Harrison and Mark Ramsey.
And you can find us at unsocialspectators.com and also at unspectators on Twitter. And welcome to episode 75 of Unsocial Spectators.
Hey now.
Hello, hello.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. So are you ready to talk about Marjo from 1972?
I'm so excited to talk about Marjo. It is such a fascinating documentary.
Yeah.
And let me tell you how I got to Marjo. Mr. Science Theater 3000.
Oh, okay.
Because after he stopped preaching, he went on to become an actor and did a lot of Mystery Science Theater level movies, Women in Prison, shit like that. But I think he did one called Starscream, where he is like the star of the movie that was a Mystery Science Theater run.
Well, and he did Star Crash.
Star Crash, that's what it is. I was thinking the wrong title.
I think Star Crash also has Knight Rider in it.
Hasselhoff?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just, I haven't seen it in a while, but I saw that, and I like, when I go through, when I'm watching a movie, I'll sit on IMDb and Wikipedia, and so this Marjo guy comes up, and I'm like, well, what's going on with this guy? And you go back, and you find out this documentary on him and that he was this child preacher. And I was like, I've got to find this. And then for the longest time, it just wasn't available. And now it's like everywhere. So you can watch it free on Tubi. And that was the best part, was me and Shelby watched it. We were just like, it's like the Righteous Gemstones without the humor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild. Yeah. He was also on Airwolf.
I saw that. That tripped me out.
And he was in the movie Earthquake.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of wild, too, because, like, you start to see it when he would get a leading role, he would typically play the villain, like, other than Starscream. And, like, in one movie I saw, he replaced Dennis Hopper.
Huh.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? I was just looking through that, and he was also in the Evel Knievel movie, which is just a wild thing to describe to people, I guess, nowadays. It was this guy who did stunts, and he was just the biggest thing. They would have these live events, and then they turned his life into a movie that's really fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, he was a Jake Paul of the 70s.
That is a great way to describe it to the kids.
Yeah, Marjo is fucking crazy, man.
I'm glad, I kind of wish there was a follow-up, because I would really love to see the preachers that he worked with, where they are now.
They're dead.
In the sense of, like, their church, because he was in some pretty big churches for 1972.
Oh, yeah.
I almost feel like this was the inspiration for the Righteous Gemstones. Baby Billy. Because he was him and his sister were these entertainers as children for the church. But Marjo was basically punished. He was waterboarded. He admits that his mom would, waterboard him, but they didn't even call it back then. It was just the way he was talked about, like that she would just put water on his face to give him that drowning sensation, to punish him and get him ready for church and learn sermons. And it was just insane the abuse this kid went through. And then his dad just fucking, like, just like Baby Billy, his dad just up and left with the money one day.
Oh, yeah.
And so him and his mom were just stuck. And this is the thing that blew me away the most, is he goes, we were probably making about $3 million a year. And that's like 1950s and 60s money.
They said they made like $3 million between him being 14 and 4 years old.
Oh, I thought. Oh, okay, no, I missed that.
It wasn't $4 million a year.
I was like, holy fuck! But I mean, even that much over that time period was a lot.
Yeah, and, over 10 years.
And then you had, there's this one speech and it was like, this was the 70s Joel Osteen. Uh-huh. I went down and I got a Cadillac. Within an hour, I was able to get a Cadillac. So please put money in the donation. Like, he just was full on admitting what he was doing was taking the church money and just buying his own shit.
Yeah, it was really cool. They put together this movie documentary group of people, and Marjo was telling them how to not act around, you know, the preachers and stuff. And he was like scamming them like a Borat back then, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he admitted to the scam. Even at the end, he goes, well, maybe I feel bad. He used maybe a lot, but you just take that out, and it was like he felt bad for what he was doing.
He was making money off of them, but it's no more a scam than the preachers in the first place.
Yeah, I mean,
he's just entertaining.
Yeah, and he even described himself as like an entertainer, and that he stole moves from Mick Jagger.
Yeah,
and you could see him on the floor acting all that out. And what was the other thing that they sold that was great? It was those bandanas that were supposed to be like healing cloths. And I've seen that shit used on the PLT. Robert Tilton did it, but so did Jim Baker.
Yeah, I remember I once took a bunch of acid and went and saw Tilton.
No way. How was that?
Fucked me up, dude. I still remember. I'm in the back of the theater or whatever, tripping balls, listening to this guy speak in tongues.
Oh, yeah. When people would do that, that's fucking wild.
Yeah. Fucking crazy shit.
And it was funny because Marjo would even make fun of speaking in tongues.
You know,
if you can get him to do that, you've won them. You're in. He talked the whole scam all the way through. And this movie is 50 years old, and that scam still continues.
Of course it does.
Yeah, and Shelby read on the release of the movie that it wasn't released in the South because they feared the problems that it would cause.
What, like them waking the fuck up?
Yeah, I know, exactly. It just amazed me to see a kid who would just spout this bullshit that, you know, he obviously comes to realize it's bullshit as his mom abused him his whole life. His dad runs away with all the money. I mean, where's the God for him? You know, if he prayed hard enough, was he going to get anything? And I think he reached the point he knew that it was just a scam. That one scene where they go, he's preaching at a church and talking him out of a whole lot of money, and they show the back room and the money in buckets.
Yeah, and they're all just acting like it's another day at the job.
Exactly. And then they're talk about like buying land, uh-huh, and like investing and just growing and mission trips and how they can take those mission trips and buy land there. And it was just profiting. It's just a business. That's all it is. And it needs to be taxed the fuck to hell. This is what it needs to be done. Sure. It never will. It never will. No. But goddamn, if I had the energy, that's what I would do. I would put together a team to just rob televangelists, because you know they got money hidden everywhere.
I've always thought if I didn't have as much morals as I do, I would be a very good TV preacher.
Oh yeah,
I would bank.
Yeah, and wasn't it the Sam Kennison story where he was a preacher for a long time, but then like he had a head injury, And that changed his entire perspective about, you know, religion and everything, and became a stand-up comic.
Yeah, he was a preacher before that, but I don't remember the head injury.
But, yeah, I can't remember what it was that drove him to that, but there was some sort of medical thing. But yeah, Marjo is the Righteous Gemstones without the comedy. I feel like he's Baby Billy, and at 21, like he even says, like, if I wasn't doing this, I'd be an actor or a rock star, because he loves the fucking attention.
Oh, yeah. And I think they should have forced every Christian in the United States to watch the movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. God, there's just like so much in it. I mean, but really the documentary itself is mainly his performances. It's him going to churches. It's him, whether it's a tent revival, which is wild, because you just, I mean, I don't see those now, but I know that they still exist.
Oh, they Shelby do.
Shelby says she has seen him in like around Rockwall, but that's Rockwall.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the kind of county that is. They still have Trump supporters dropping flags over the bridges every Sunday.
Wow.
Wackadoo.
Speaking of a bunch of people getting grifted, you know,
yeah,
same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Rudy Giuliani is the biggest one. He now has no money, can't pay for his own trial or his own lawyers, but has like $6 million apartment in New York that he's trying to sell because Trump won't pay him.
Yeah. Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, but they tied religion into that. That if you look back, and I always say Reagan is that big turning point of the evangelicals getting into the Republicans, and the Republicans realizing, oh, we can get so much more money from these motherfuckers.
Yeah,
because they believe in the invisible man.
Yeah, if they'll believe in the invisible man, they'll believe that they're out for their best interests.
Yeah, and people like Joel Osteen reinforce that, because it's like if you celebrate God right by donating to me, you will get those things twofold in return. And it's like, who's believing that shit? Like, it was wild. I remember posting, like, when I was on Facebook, I posted, like, a meme about people who helped during the hurricane in Houston, and that Joel Osteen wouldn't open his church, and it was like, not you. And I had people defending that piece of shit, and I was like, wow, you guys are suckers. I thought, like, you at least had some kind of intelligence, but it was, like, ridiculous that people would defend.
Why would you think they had intelligence?
Because they were friends of mine who I'd spoken to and thought, oh, okay, well, you seem decent. But then it's like, hey, don't mock Joel Osteen. I'm like, they had a fucking flood and he wouldn't let people into his church.
Well,
that he only did it out of shame eventually. I mean, there's just if you look at the con artists in religion, I mean, outside of Scientology, who really figured, you know, the big money's in celebrities, the most of them are in Texas and Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, and that says so much about the shitheads that live here.
And definitely. So what else have you been watching?
I've been watching some Japanese zombie movies, or Korean.
Cool.
There's been a couple. One is called Zom 100. And it's on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And it just has the funniest premise, because it's this guy who is who goes to a job that he really hates. And he wakes up one day to go to work and realize the zombie apocalypse has happened. And he is ecstatic. He is just happy as hell because he doesn't have to go to work anymore. So he's just like, he sees his neighbors. He's like, hey, can I get y'all something? I'm going to go, you know, get some food. And it just has that funny sense of humor of like, maybe the apocalypse would be better for some people.
Right.
Because it would just get them out of work and shit. And it was a movie. So it was like a nice quick watch. And then there was another one I watched called Home Sweet. and it's the first time I've watched a show that felt like Lost. You know, it had a bunch of people in a building, and the zombie apocalypse happens, but it's not exactly the zombie apocalypse because it's more like Resident Evil. The monsters are big and fleshy and, right. You know, all sorts of weird stuff. But it's, I think it was like 8 or 10 episodes that kind of slowly reveal the characters that are trapped in this building together. Who's good? Who's bad? Who should you trust? And the Korean way of horror is, like, they have just a few monsters, and of course sometimes just the humans are the evil people, but it's when they have a death in it, they really focus on that death and let you kind of just sit in that sadness for a while. And I really enjoyed it. And I was like, and it gets to the end and I'm like, wait a minute, there has to be a season two. And it claims there's going to be a second season, but this ran 3 years ago and there hasn't been anything since. So I was kind of bummed, but yeah, Home Sweet is also on Netflix.
Yeah. So I finished watching The Sopranos.
Okay. What'd you think?
Love it. It was great.
How are you about the ending?
Doesn't bother me.
Same here. You know, and I know David Chase has come out and said what the ending was, you know, and that's what I thought it was. So,
yeah,
good job.
I also started watching, I finished The Wire, too.
Fuck yeah, The Wire is great.
Really, really good. And then I started watching Tremé.
I've never seen that. How is that?
Really fucking good. And it's cool because it has two of the detectives from The Wire. It's a David Chase show, too.
Oh, yeah.
And also has two guys from Righteous Gemstones.
Who?
It has what's his name? Keith? Huh? No, not Keith. Steve Zahn and John Goodman.
Oh, fuck yes.
It's really good show, man.
Those two are so great.
Yeah, you should check it out. Definitely worth watching. And then I finished Warriors Season 3. Really fucking good, man.
Yeah, I've seen you watch it a lot of that, so I've been curious.
Yeah, it's fucking great. What else have you been watching?
Just some TV, like, What We Do in the Shadows. This week was amazing. Like, it's so weird to watch that show, and, like, Kyle Newacek is, like, one of the producers and directors of the show, and he's from Workaholics, and that humor to What We Do in the Shadows is so different, and they pull it off so well. And this week, they've been trying to figure out... They did a stunt this week that was just fucking amazing, where they made clones of one of the characters, but they just used random animals. So they had, like, people come in with full prosthetics. They had, like, a fish makeup of one of the guys with his face. It was just fucking weird but hilarious. Yeah, I just don't know how to even explain that episode because it was so weird. But it was one of the best episodes of the season. Like, production-wise, was amazing. You had these dogs that kind of had Guillermo's face done so well that it just looked like it was movie level makeup. Yeah. They even had little CGI rats that had his face, and it was just, it was so good. And that show and How To with John Wilson are pretty much my favorites. And this week, How To with John Wilson is the weirdest, touching episode I've ever seen, because the premise is how to watch sports is the premise. Yeah, because he's like not much of a sports fan. He kind of mocks himself. It's so weird because he goes into like a personal place. Like, he talks about his lack of interest in sports And the only time he ever got Sports Illustrated was when his dad would buy the swimsuit issue and give it to him because his dad always hoped that he wasn't gay. which led him to some weird sexual experimenting with his male best friend that kind of fucked him up. Like, he admits this into the show.
Wow.
Yeah. And so he tries to get into sports so he can, like, you know, be one of the guys. And he accidentally gets a text from someone who thinks he's someone else and wants to give him Met tickets. So he just takes the tickets and goes and films a day at the stadium, and it just rains. So he doesn't get anything out of it. And along the way, he takes a turn and hangs out with this guy who's a Mets fan, and it goes to his house and discovers how he became a fan. And it just goes into weird places there. And the next thing you know, you're at a convention for people who collect vacuum cleaners. I swear to God, it's weird because it just goes on that path that he ends up at this place. And when you get there, it's still comedy, but it's like there's this one moment because it's just a bunch of guys who collect vacuums.
That really sucks.
Oh, shit. Oh, I remember what it was. He was trying to clean his apartment, and his vacuum cleaner broke. So he goes to the vacuum shop, and he just meets, like, this guy who runs the shop, who describes, like, the history of vacuum cleaners. He even had this cool one that was, like, a bubble that all the exhaust went on the bottom so that it actually is like a little hovercraft that that it would lift up and you could pull it around the house.
Wow.
It was one of the, it didn't have wheels. So he goes to this vacuum cleaner convention, and it's like a small group. I'd say it's easily less than 50 people.
Are they dressed up like vacuum cleaners?
No, but they all bring their own personal collection to show off. And they have, like, contests where they, like, they put a bunch of stuff on the ground to mimic dirt and different and glitter and all this shit. And then you would take your vacuum cleaner, and whoever vacuumed up the most would win. They would have, like, get-togethers and go out to eat. But it was so real. It was one of the best things I'd seen on the show. I mean, it's hard to explain. Like, there's a guy in the show who starts talking about his vacuum cleaner obsession. He goes, I've had it since I was a kid. And he goes, well, did you tell your friends about it? He goes, never. He goes, you would just be mocked for this. He goes, but my dad was supportive. And so my dad always kind of knew that I was into this. And then he reveals that his dad had passed away last week. And it just breaks your heart because he's telling how supportive his dad was for this thing. And he goes, and he's just not here for me to talk to now. And it was just so, like, you kind of fought, you want to hug this guy for this moment he's going through because he's sharing all this.
Yeah, until he sucks his dad's ashes up on the vacuum cleaner.
Oh, they bring in this one vacuum cleaner that's fucking huge. Like, they're in this, like, tiny conference room. The vacuum cleaner barely fits in there. They turn it on to show it off. And at one point, like, all the hotel employees who are, like, the maids and the cleaners, they all come down to see this thing because they want to see it work. It's weird, but he gets to the end of it and he really describes it. He goes, you know, I may not be someone like who's one of the guys that wants to go watch the game, but sometimes when you have this, like, small community, maybe it's better. Maybe sometimes that close knit boys club can be fun. And he just showed the guys who were, like, taking their vacuum clean, like, the convention was over. These guys, like, all pitch in their own money and raise funds to have an annual convention where they go and show off their vacuum cleaners.
Wow.
And it was fucking interesting, I swear to God.
Amazing.
How To with John Wilson, best fucking show on TV.
So I watched Ready Player One.
What a turd fest that movie is.
It's pretty bad, man.
And what I hate, though, is I read the book and loved the book. Uh-huh. The book is way different. And I mean, it's a nostalgia thing. It's really just kind of goes back into those arcade games or home games that you played. I'm starting to mix it up with Armada, but it's just really for, I feel like Gen Xers, even though it's supposed to be in the future where it's, people can't live, but they'll have full VR body suits.
Sure.
Which makes no sense. And, you know, and the lead is kind of boring. The story doesn't do any of the cool shit that the book does. Even in the VR world, it's just not.
It was just bad.
Yeah. It's just bad.
Then I watched Asteroid City.
We haven't watched it yet, but I saw your review on Letterboxd, man.
Pretty damn good, man.
Oh, fuck. I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, pretty damn good. Totally recommend it.
I gotta ask though, because I know that they replaced Bill Murray with Tom Hanks. Can you kind of tell? I mean, does Tom Hanks kind of do his own thing, or is it very similar to what a Bill Murray character is in a Wes Anderson film?
He's fine. I mean, okay. It's Tom Hanks. I mean, he can do anything, really. Yeah. You know?
And I love that look Scarlett Johansson's throwing down in that movie.
Yeah, pretty cool.
She looks like a 50s Hollywood starlet.
Well, she looked like Annette Bening.
Oh, that, yeah, okay, I can see that.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me, but really cool film, man. He really nailed it. A total Wes Anderson movie, you know? And then I watched The Burbs.
Oh, yes. Was it first time or you've seen it before?
First time.
Oh, wow, fuck. Shelby and I said you were watching it, and I said we should watch it before the show. We never got around to it because it's one of her favorite movies growing up.
Yeah, it's just fantastic.
I mean, Joe Dante doing with Tom Hanks, Corey Feldman, and Bruce Dern.
Bruce Dern is fantastic.
He's so good.
Yeah, and the weird people in the other house are just great.
And, you know, Bruce Dern fucking still nails it. I mean, he was in the last Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. What was the other one? Nebraska that he did with Will Forte is a really good movie. Bruce Dern just acting his ass off.
Yeah, I love that guy. He's been in so many good movies. Then I started watching Deadwood.
Ooh, I love Deadwood.
It's really good, man.
I love Deadwood, man.
Yeah.
You can't hear Ian. It's Ian McShane.
Yeah.
Just say cunt enough in that.
Yeah. They say cocksucker 50 times a show.
Yeah. That's what they should have called the show.
Yeah.
And there is a movie, too, once you finish it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They came back and revisited.
I finished Secret Invasion. It was okay.
Yeah, it just, you know.
I think because you had already read the comics that you were probably expecting more.
Well, yeah, because, the comic is hard to do because the comic is such a different story. The comic starts with a spaceship crash lands in this one part of the world called the Savage Land, which is essentially where like dinosaurs and shit live. All the heroes, Avengers, X-Men, and everything rush to this. And when the ship opens up, it's basically copies of themselves.
Yeah.
And you're not sure who is who. The story is so good that at one point they convince Tony Stark that maybe he's a Skrull. And so there's like fucked up shit like that. And like Hawkeye, his character had gone through a marriage and a divorce only to find out that the wife that he divorced was a Skrull, and that his real wife was on the ship the whole time.
Yeah, it was okay.
This was just a Nick Fury story. That's it. That's all it is. And it's really Olivia Colman is great. The one-on-one dialogues are great with Sam Jackson. But beyond that, it's kind of meh.
Yeah, then I watched The Drop.
What is that?
James Gandolfini and Tom Hardy.
Oh, I've never seen this.
Really good, man.
Yeah, where'd you see it, Tubi?
No, I have a copy. I'll send you a copy. You'll probably like it.
Okay.
But a really good show, man. I mean, James Hardy is real, or Tom Hardy is really fucking good at it. And then I watched Killer Elite.
Is that the
Jason Statham and Robert De Niro and I think Jude Law or someone? It's pretty good.
Clive Owen.
Yeah, Clive. I mix them up all the time. but yeah, it was okay. Yeah, it was fine.
It's weird because I look at this and I go, I think I've seen this, but nothing. I don't remember a scene at all. Nothing's bringing me back.
Then this morning I watched Breakout. 1975, Charles Bronson, his wife Jill Ireland, and had Robert Duvall,
and Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid and John Huston. It's a really good cast.
Wow. Yeah, it's free everywhere.
Yeah, pretty fun action film. Worth watching.
Yeah.
You know, so,
for that cast alone, man. I love to go back and revisit Charles Bronson movies. Like, The Mechanic is fucking great.
Yeah.
And you know, the first Death Wish is okay. But yeah. It's the rest that really suck.
Yeah, but they're definitely fun, you know.
Yeah.
Did you watch anything else?
No, that's it for me.
Okay, I have some news.
Let's go.
So August 25th, The Flash is coming to Max.
Wow. And it's fun movie, but it is like everything I kind of look at now is just playing off nostalgia.
Oh yeah.
But I loved it. I mean, I had fun. I mean, Ezra Miller is a fucked up human being, and it's weird that they won't back off of the crimes he's committed to do a major motion picture, but it crashed so bad that I don't think he'll be back.
And they're going to do a Toxic Avenger reboot with Peter Dinklage.
I saw that, and I feel that is not necessary.
Of course not.
Trauma is the way to go with that kind of movie, so taking that is, I'm just weirded out by, like, I know Peter Dinklage will make it fun and worth watching, but then hold on, because I have seen some of his movies that have sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did one that was about LARPing that was really a
real shit show.
Total shit show. Like, it was pitched as a comedy. It had Danny Pudi in it. I thought, oh, this is going to be great. It was not, like, I could maybe count the laughs on one hand.
Then next week we're going to be watching Argento film, I believe his first, the Bird with the Crystal Plumage.
Yes, 1970.
Yeah, 1970. So yeah, get ready for that, everybody.
Yeah, it's a free on Tubi, Amazon, Plex.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And that's what we have for the show.
All right. Good deal, man.
All right. Well, I'll see you next time.
See ya.